Joe Davis on Sportsnet LA. It was a heck of a day. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. It was history in the making. Shohei Ohtani, 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases, actually more than that now. He broke his own records. He's the only member of the 50-50 club. Perloff, he did it in style.
Yeah, I mean, again, greatest day in MLB history. Obviously feels rich. I've been arguing against it all day in the sense that what was so great, that he got to 50-50 or that he had this crazy output statistically? Or
yes.
Both.
Yes and yes. I think that's the combo.
And also, too, let's face it, he's Shohei Ohtani. He's just a fascinating player. He's like no one we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I think that, listen, how the rules have changed stolen bases in a small sample size, we can see that, yes, it has. You know, Acuna had over 70 stolen bases last year. That's unthinkable in any other time in baseball history. However, I feel okay and feel good about celebrating this for Shohei Ohtani and kind of marveling just at how incredible it is, because I know he's an incredible player. I don't think I'm watching a one-off here. Not that Acuna's a one-off, but I'm just saying I don't feel like, wow, we're going to remember that one blip on the radar when Ohtani had this one season and then we never heard from him again. This is not even close. We're going to watch Ohtani get back on the mound next year, and again, mm-hmm. We're going to be wowed by how he's going to be able to handle both workloads. Is he going to go 50-50 again? I don't know about that, but I think that he's going to continue to stack these accomplishments on top of each other. And again, to go into this 50-50 rarefied air and to do it on a 6-for-6 day where he hits 3 home runs, 10 RBI, 2 steals. I mean, he's got the flair. Like, he does things and he does them in such a special way too.
Yeah. I mean, listen, we'll see the pitching. You seem very, very confident that it's all going to happen next year. I just think that it's hard to keep pitchers healthy. And we look at the great pitchers of our era. They seem to be up and down in and out of the lineup. Your guy, Jacob DeGrom, for example. I feel like if the nastier your stuff is, the more likely you are to get hurt. And for me, it's a gigantic risk because he's the best player without pitching. Yes, Aaron Judge has a great argument too. But I mean, I think Shohei consistently over the last 5 years is he's the number one player. Why would you risk not having him on the field? So for me, I would just hit him. You're right, he's spectacular. Honestly, with the new stolen base rules, let's go for 60-60. Why? What's stopping him?
Well, I think the pitching is going to make it harder. I do. There's a workload there.
Yeah, right. His pitching, not his opponent's pitching.
Yeah, no, him taking the mound is going to be harder because he's going to have to dial it back just a little bit just to save himself, right? And if the Dodgers want to win a World Series, he has to be out there pitching. This is what the $700 million was for. I know he's not going to get it for a while because he deferred the whole thing, but that's what the money's for. That's why it wasn't a $500 million contract. It was $700 because they need him to pitch.
Well, I don't know if I agree with that because, I mean, $700 million, if that can buy you 5 MVPs, that's still a pretty good deal.
But that's not what I think the Dodgers are in this for. Yeah, they will, and they're already getting the marketing money and all that stuff from Shohei. I think it's got to be about World Series. And that's something where the Dodgers, you know, who made the postseason yesterday, that's another thing that this win did, clinched a postseason berth, which they were going to do anyway. They've done it for 12 straight years, but Ohtani's never been in the postseason. He actually holds the record right now as an active player for most regular season games played without a postseason appearance. So it's important for him. They got to win. And their pitching has always been the thing, at least lately, that has kept them from this. And that was, I think, a huge reason why they went after him so strong, why they paid him all that money. They want him to pitch.
All right. They might. I think it's a mistake. I really do. I think you have the best hitter we've seen since Barry Bonds in his prime.
I know, but you don't even think that 50-50 is really all that interesting. I mean, they're not interesting. That's what words in your mouth, but you don't think the stolen bases mean anything. And you told me before everyone hits home runs now. So you don't even think that's impressive.
Nobody hits them like Shohei. I mean, except for Aaron Judge. I honestly actually get a little nervous. All that sliding he does in the stolen bases, like, protect this man.
Well, but you can't keep him in a bubble, Pearl. Like, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
to say don't steal bases? He's got to get himself in scoring position. They're trying to win games. important? Just that numbers and that the team wins 65 games? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I think it's really important not to burn him out.
See, I don't.
If the stolen bases are so important, then have him be a hitter primarily, not a pitcher.
I know, but he's special as a hitter. Yeah. It makes him in another stratosphere because he can pitch.
Well, this is like, there's so many versions of this argument. It's like Travis Hunter at Colorado, play him every down and see what happens. Like, at a certain point, you protect players. Lamar Jackson, if you want to run him 25 times a game, you could. He'd be spectacular, but guess what happened? He'd get hurt. So why can't I say, hey, maybe you ought to be smart about how you use Shohei Ohtani?
Because it's not a physical sport as football, and I understand injuries happen.
Yeah,
I get that.
Pitching.
But look at what he's doing as he's rehabbing from major elbow surgery. He's setting records and is going to win the MVP again. So I don't know. I think there's part of this where when you're in your prime, you got to go for it. And I'm not saying burn him out, but this is the winning time now for the Dodgers. Maybe not this season, again, because he can't pitch. But moving forward,
they've won like 108 games a season. I mean, they do nothing but win. I understand you're saying the postseason, but trust me, there's no rhyme or reason to the postseason. It's been the NL, it's been the Phillies, the Diamondbacks. Like,
it's partly Dodgers don't have enough pitching. If they did, then they'd be them.
And I don't think it works that way. I really don't.
855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on Shohei.
You never know what pitching staff and what bullpen is going to get hot. I mean, maybe Shohei makes a difference, but honestly, if Shohei's taking on a lot of innings during the regular season, do we know how he's going to have the pitching endurance to be good in the postseason? That's a big if, too. I mean, Clayton Kershaw is the best regular season pitcher I ever saw. He didn't do anything for the Dodgers in the postseason.
You are welcome to weigh in on Shohei. And EJ, can we get some poll results here for whether or not this was the greatest single season day in the history of baseball?
Yes. So we asked the question again, was Shohei Ohtani's 3-home-run, 10 RBIs, 2 stolen base game that clinched MLB's first 50-50 season ever the greatest single day performance in baseball history? Right now, 68% say yes. A little less than 32% say no.
Yeah. I mean, there's competition, and it's postseason stuff. It's Reggie Jackson hitting 3 home runs in Game 6 of the World Series. It's Don Larsen. There's more. I mean, moments. You want to talk about moments, there are plenty of other moments that are more significant than this. I mean, like Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier, stuff like that. That will be unmatched in history and baseball history. And like bigger game moments, too. But it was a great day yesterday, that's for sure. Okay, let's get to some NFL and college picks. I realize we've also added some college picks.
Yeah.
Maybe we should update that.
Tell the voice guy. Hey, voice guy, you should be figuring this out.
Paul Turner. All right, EJ Records, what are they, sir?
Yeah, so your records right now, Maggie, you are overall 7-3 after having a 3-2 week last week. Perloff, you had a 3-2 week as well, which brings your record to 5-5 for the season.
All right.
Nice.
Here we are. Would you like to start with college or pro? Why don't start college?
College.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going with the big cheese here. I'm going to focus on the two key narratives of this entire season. I'm betting against Colorado, Baylor, +2. Just because you could beat an FCS team, we shall see. I know Baylor's not great this year, but this is just a bet against Colorado. And same thing I did last week, Florida State under 44.5.
Yeah, that was a good one for you.
They reunite that incredible rivalry against Cal this weekend.
Listen, throw out the record books, right? We do two college picks here. We do one against the spread, one over under. For me, against the spread, now... this one might not be on one of your main TVs, but I'm going to lean into Penn State's ability to run up the score on anybody. Give me the 48.5. I'm going to lay it against Kent State. Now, Kent State is having a tough season. They lost 71-0 against Tennessee. This is not good. And if there's anyone who loves to rub it in a team's face, it's James Franklin. He will not let up the dogs. 48.5. Ooh. I'm laying it. Penn State against Kent State.
Yes.
And then, yes.
Former Antonio Gates was actually didn't even play football there, did he?
Yeah, basketball.
Yeah, go ahead.
And my over-under, I'm going to go to tonight's game, and I'm going to take the over in Nebraska-Illinois. Get a top 25 matchup here with Nebraska. Illinois is 24, Nebraska 22. Nebraska is an 8-point favorite in this game. The over-under is 43. This is a Dylan Raiola bet, and the fact that Illinois actually has good defense, but I am going to take the over in this game. Nebraska, Illinois, over 43. Those are my two college bets.
All right, I love it. All right, pros. I am betting against the Eagles until they show me they can play any form of defense whatsoever. So the spread is now, I'm seeing a 2.5 right now. Nick Casa said it's going between 3 and 2.5 earlier in the show. So I'm going to pencil in the Saints at -2.5. My over-under, I'm doing Bears-Colts. The Bears' defense is crazy good. So so far, I mean, it's been two games. I believe in the Fluth, Matt Eberflus, going under 43.5 against the Colts.
Yeah, I thought about that one. Sorry. Yeah. And who's your player prop?
So my player prop, I have two names written here. This is going to be a coin flip right now. Let's go Rams receiver DeMarcus Robinson over 3.5 catches because somebody has to catch a darn ball in L.A. I think this is probably a popular one because I've seen this written a lot. I'm going DeMarcus Robinson over 3.5 catches. We'll see. That Niners-Rams game could be hideous. But Matthew Stafford's still such a good quarterback. He's got to throw to someone.
Yeah, DeMarcus Robinson and Juwan Jennings, I think, are going to be like the big quote-unquote winners of this week for both the Rams and the 49ers because all the other weapons are hurt. Okay, for me, for the NFL, I'm going to zag here on everybody. Everyone loves the Ravens. Loves the Ravens. Yeah. Get it favored by a point against the Cowboys. I'm going to zag. I'm going to take the Cowboys. I think the Ravens start the season 0-3, and I think you see a little bit of panic. I think the Cowboys are not looking ahead to that Giants game and saying, oh, well, we got one in the bag. We'll even our record at 2-2. I think they're looking at how they just got totally destroyed against the Saints, and they've got something to prove. Again, this game is in Dallas, and at some point, Dallas has to figure out how to stop the run. If they can't figure it out this week against Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, they're never going to figure it out, and you might as well fire the whole coaching staff because it's going to be the same thing over and over again. What you saw against Green Bay, what you saw against the Saints, just going to be the same. So I'm going to bet that they're going to make some adjustments, and I'm going to go with Dallas, +1.
God, that would be wild if the Ravens were 0-3.
It would be, but couldn't you
no,
see
I,
it?
No, I totally can see it. No, I think your logic is right on.
There's so many holding penalties. It's crazy. They're killing themselves. Okay. As far as my over-under for the NFL, I'm also going with an under. Our pal Nick Costos was into this one as well. The Cleveland Browns, the New York Giants, under 38.5.
Oh, that's the number? That's
I don't want to watch this game.
Just mark that down as a W for Maggie.
Well, we'll see. But I'm rewatching last night that Browns game against the Jags. I mean, their offense, like, it's just, it was enough to beat Jacksonville, but it wasn't that great. I mean, Deshaun actually had a rather good game in that game.
That's why you were watching that game. You mentioned that in the call, and I was like, why are you watching
Browns? Yeah, Tony Khan's going to be here in 5 minutes. Oh, I got to rewatch the Jags game.
Right, okay.
I thought it was a cry for help. I didn't know what was going on there. Like, is Maggie being held hostage? Be like, that was a tough game.
I think
all Browns games are kind of tough, and Giants games are even tougher. That's why that's a really good pick.
Thank you. We'll see if it comes true. And then my player prop, Maggie and Perloff's NFL and college picks, give me Devontae Adams over 62.5 receiving yards. The Raiders welcoming in the Carolina Panthers, now featuring Andy Dalton. So maybe the game is a little closer and the Raiders have to keep throwing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Devontae Adams, like, is this Panthers secondary going to be able to keep tabs on him?
I mean, listen, you're going to have to throw for 300 yards when you're going against the Red Rifle, Maggie. You know that.
It's going to be a shootout. I thought about a Brock Bowers anytime touchdown, but instead going with the Devontae Adams over 62.5 receiving yards. Okay, so let's recap it, Pearl. Your five picks are what?
Okay, I got Baylor +2 against Colorado, Florida State, Cal under 44.5, Bears, Colts under 43.5, Saints -2.5. Against the Eagles, and then my player prop is DeMarcus Robinson, Rams receiver, over 3.5 receptions.
Okay, I'm laying 48.5 points, Penn State versus Kent State. It's a big number. It's a way to keep this game interesting. I am, for my college picks tonight, Nebraska, Illinois, give me over the 43, and then for my NFL picks, I will take the Cowboys +1. I'm going to zag on everyone who loves the Ravens this week, and I'll go Cleveland and the Giants under 38.5 is the total, and give me Devontae Adams over 62.5 receiving yards. There you go. We're off to a good start this year.
Well, we'll see. Yeah, it's early. Now, you know, we did 3 a week last year. Now we're doing 5 feel like you can have wild swings pretty quickly. yeah, yeah. And college is, when you add to college, it's funny because it's Saturday. You're like, oh my God, I'm already in a hole.
Yeah, I have a feeling, yeah, this is, I'm going to be sweating, I think, this Penn State one, but we'll see.
That'll be fun. Yeah, because otherwise, why are you going to watch Penn State, Kent State? That's like one of the great things about gambling is like games you normally cannot tune into are fun.
One of the great things about gambling. That should be the tagline of our show. Okay, coming up, the president and CEO of AEW, co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, as well as Fulham FC. The very talented Tony Khan will join us next. Don't move. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So happy to have one of our pals in studio, Tony Khan, the multi-talented, as I always say, president CEO AEW, of course, the wrestling outfit, co-owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Fulham FC, owns a company called True Media, which basically supplies analytics to every professional and college team alive. Tony, thank you.
Great to see you both. Thanks for having me in today.
So happy to have you. We have tons of questions for you about wrestling, about football, everything. But you were at the game last night. Were at the Jets-Patriots game because your Jacksonville Jaguars are going to play both of these teams. You saw Rodgers up close. We thought it was funny you had to buy a ticket to the game.
No, it's like I was. It was great. I'm happy to go and support the NFL, and it was really, really a great game, and great to see one of the all-time greats in his 20th season playing the game at the highest level. We play both those teams this year. Patriots coming up at Wembley next month, and then the Jets come to Jacksonville in December. Robert Saleh was former Jaguars linebackers coach, so always good to see him. No, it was great to be at the game, and it's great to be in New York. We've got AEW coming up next week at Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's the AEW Grand Slam, the biggest episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite all year. So many great things happening in AEW, and I always love seeing the two of you when I'm in New York.
Well, thank you. Can you get Aaron Rodgers to come out to the event? It's a Wednesday. Ooh. I don't know who they play that coming up that week. Oh, they might be in London, actually, to play the Vikings, but... Would he be welcome at one of your events?
Anybody. Yeah, absolutely. I've met Aaron Rodgers a few times. He's a really, really nice guy. And like I said, in his 20th season, I think he might be the greatest of all time, still doing all these great things. And, you know, absolutely one of the all-time greats. We've had a lot of great stars from all over the world of sports. You both know as AEW fans coming over the years. I still think our all-time greatest celebrity pro wrestler is Shaq. Shaq got in the ring. He's undefeated.
My God.
And you can't beat that.
Tony, so New York, I'm not sure if you're hanging out until next week for the event. To me, you know, I grew up as a child of 80s wrestling, and there's something about New York. It's just different than, not to be parochial here, but I remember, I grew up in Philadelphia, and it was a big deal if they were at the Spectrum, but when it was at Madison Square Garden or it was anywhere in New York, it's just bigger. Why is New York just such an important place for you?
Thank you, Drew. Yeah. It's so important to come to the mecca of pro wrestling, which is New York City, and bring a great event, and we've carved out our own really special thing here in New York with AEW at Arthur Ashe Stadium. It's our fourth year of doing the AEW Wednesday Night Grand Slam shows. We've had some of our best matches and best moments there. And like you said, there's nothing like wrestling in New York City. And for AEW, we've really tried to make something unique with Grand Slam. I was just saying as I walked into your producer, it's the best locker rooms in pro wrestling to use the players' locker rooms at Arthur Ashe Stadium.
Yeah, fancy.
I'm in the referees' locker room. It's a great, great facility in New York. It's one of the greatest wrestling cities in the world. And when we come for AEW Grand Slam every year, it's right after the U.S. Open has just left Arthur Ashe, and that's really one of New York's best sporting events, in my opinion. And then we go in right after that, move in, set up the wrestling ring next Wednesday night on TBS live at 8 o'clock. It's going to be one of our all-time greatest shows, I really believe. There's a lot of really cool things happening in AEW right now, and I agree with what you said. New York City always brings the big fight feel for pro wrestling, and for AEW, you know, nobody had ever done wrestling at Arthur Ashe Stadium, and that's why we wanted to do it.
Tony Khan is here. You've also had success in London doing the shows at Wembley. What other international venues do you have your eye on, if any?
Well, it's a great question. We've expanded, you know, we've international tours now. Last year, we expanded into Canada as well. That went really well. We've done shows in Vancouver, Toronto, Calgary, all over Canada. And then this year, we also went to Wales, which was a great success. The fans there were awesome. But for us, like you said, we've had great success at London's Wembley Stadium. We set the world record last year for ticket sales at Wembley Stadium. We did 81,035 tickets. This year we changed the setup and people thought it looked even better. And it's crazy because it's kind of necessity being the mother of invention. Taylor Swift did a series of shows at Wembley Stadium the week leading into our show. And because her shows brought so much revenue, they really reduced the amount of time we had to set up for our show. And it worked out really neat. We were able to come to a really good agreement with them. And we ended up using her stage. And So the wrestlers came down the same stage. And we didn't have as much room. You know, last year we came out at the 50-yard line in the middle of the pitch, as we would say in London. And, you know, this year we came out of the end zone. And so it didn't have as much seating, but it also looked better, and everyone thought the TV experience and just the grandiose nature of it was even bigger. So London is another place where the fans are great, and it has that huge fight feeling. But international touring, I'm glad you asked, because we're expanding into Australia. We're going to Australia next year for bringing the Grand Slam brand of AEW there, and looking to do some other exciting things internationally and expanding domestically, doing new things also. You know, for the first time ever, we're going to run a baseball stadium in America, Texas Rangers baseball stadium in Arlington next year. Very cool.
Man, does everyone look at the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift phenomenon, right? And just how much, what it did for the Chiefs, which I know you guys have some history with, of course, but, you know, do you look at your players in the locker room and be like, can't one of you guys date this woman? Like, she was sitting right there. Why step up?
Well, that's a great question. It's definitely been great for the NFL. And I'm on the fan engagement major events committee in the NFL. And there's no question that's been a very positive thing for the NFL. And Taylor Swift's one of the biggest stars in the world. And with AEW, you know, it ended up being a great thing working with her team to be able to have all the events at the stadium, including an extra show on Tuesday that really, if we hadn't worked everything out, it might not have been possible to do it. So it was great for the fans of Taylor Swift. Plus, we got some tickets for the wrestlers. So everyone was happy. Yeah.
I was going to say, did you go?
I did not because I was getting set up for the show in Cardiff.
Got it.
And also, I'm the general manager of Fulham. So it was really great being back over there with my team. And we won our home opener that weekend. So it was great.
I think I ask you about this every time. I'm a little bit obsessed with your travel schedule because you try to be, you're at every AEW event, correct? And do you get to every Jags game as well?
Yeah. I'm going to miss one this year, and I've only missed a handful ever because Wrestle Dream in Tacoma is not mathematically possible to make it to the Bears game at Tottenham, but I will be at the Patriots game at Wembley.
Right, like you have Australia. Like, as you expand internationally, you're going to make your life more difficult by being in the air all the time. How do you deal with it?
It's great. I get a lot of work done up there. You know, we got Monday Night Football. Jaguars will be at Bills Monday Night Football. It's a huge game coming up Monday. And then I'll be coming back here for Grand Slam. I see the Bills.
Well, Tony, I mean, we've never really talked about this, but I'm from upstate New York. I grew up going to, my uncle was a season ticket holder during the whole K-Gun era. You're right, it is a big game. You and I both have a lot on the line here. I'm wondering, would you like to put a friendly wager on this?
I am barred from wagering, but I'll get you dinner at Ilio DiPaolo's up in Buffalo, which is also a wrestling establishment, by the way. A great wrestler, Ilio DiPaolo.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I'll send you buffalo wings. You can send me, I'm not sure what the Jacksonville food, the cuisine, you know, the thing the city's known for, but we could do a little something like that if only.
A meal at the great Ilio DiPaolo's in Buffalo, I'll bet it.
Wait, I do not know this place. There was a wrestler named Ilio DiPaolo who has a restaurant in Buffalo now?
Yeah, legendary wrestler, the most famous wrestler ever out of Buffalo. And it's really cool because, like my life, it's the intersection of the NFL and wrestling, because all the football, like, I've had dinner with Jim Kelly and Thurman Thomas there and all the great people from those Bills teams. And we've had some great times there, and also all the wrestlers come. And he was a great wrestler in Buffalo who built this restaurant. He was like Buffalo's Bruno Sammartino.
I mean, there's so much. People don't really think about this because Buffalo's got some other rivalries, the Jets, Pats, whatever, but Miami. But there's a lot of history with Jets-Bills. I mean, the Bills broke their postseason drought, go to Jacksonville, score 3 points in a playoff game. You guys beat us there. Mm. I mean, Tony Boselli haunts my nightmares, you know, all that stuff. Tony Khan is here with us in studio. He's the president and CEO of AEW, co-owner Jacksonville Jaguars, and obviously Fulham FC as well. You've got the Grand Slam event for AEW happening September 25th. Arthur Ashe Stadium or TBS at 8 o'clock. Probably not the start of the season you were hoping for with the Jags. Obviously, you guys start 0-2. Both games very winnable. Thought you were winning both of those games. Sort of what's the general vibe? Trevor Lawrence minced no words after the loss to Cleveland. He said, we suck right now. What was your response to that?
I think that we have a great football team. We have a great group of players, and it's very early, two games into the season. You know, last year we opened up 8-3. And it's, I don't think it's all about how you open, which, you know, last year and the year before showed, because the previous year we started slower and had a great finish to the season. But what we've seen really is great progress in Jacksonville over the last couple of years. This is the first time we've ever had back-to-back winning seasons. We have, in my opinion, the best young quarterback in football, Trevor Lawrence. I really believe in Trevor, and also really believe in our coach. Doug Peterson is a proven coach, and also we've all been through a lot as a team. Like Trevor said, it's a really close-knit group of people working together in Jacksonville. We have a great group. Our defense has been playing very well. We have great players there. We have a great new defensive coordinator, a great group of people coming together. The office is really close, and the players are really close. And I think as a team, like you said, we're really close. I really believe we can do this and have a good year with the Jaguars. And really, like I said, I think Jacksonville's made a lot of progress. And as a city, we're making a lot of progress there in Jacksonville. We're building towards the stadium of the future, and there's a lot of great things happening. And the fans are really behind the team, too. So I'm still really excited about the Jaguars season.
You know, this is more of an NFL-wide question. Do you know scoring is down? People are starting to talk about it. And the Jags defense does look great. Their scoring is down a little bit. Can you point to one thing that's happening? Is it just early in the season and this is going to readjust? Or is the league a little different than it was, say, 5 years ago?
Well, a lot of numbers are down. Specifically, passing touchdowns have been down. And passing yardage the air yards. There's been shorter passes thrown. It's interesting. Maybe it's teams being conservative early in the season. I don't know. I do think a lot of the defenses have done very well early in the season. It's something to keep an eye on, but definitely as a statistician, you're absolutely right that scoring and some of those offensive numbers early in the season are down, but also, that's what makes the NFL interesting is the strategic evolutions of the sport. And it's my 13th season working in the NFL as a statistician. And absolutely the way the league has evolved over the, you know, since we were kids growing up watching football, it's fascinating to watch. It's evolved, and the passing numbers, they grew. And it's fascinating to watch what's happening to the game right now.
Maybe a dumb question. Is defense use I always think analytics, so that's the way to score more points. Is defense use your numbers just as much as offense, or is it a different vibe there?
I think defense is a very open to using analytics, and that's where I've focused on a lot of stuff, and that's where I've looked at doing things in the undrafted free agency market. You know, there was just a documentary on NFL Films. I don't know if you two saw it. It came out Wednesday night, and it was following the Jaguars draft process and also AEW.
Yeah,
and it's on NFL Films.
Oh, we saw a clip, Tony, with you with the neck brace on.
Yeah.
Can't miss it. Yeah,
it was very good, and it meant a lot to me. It was really cool because I grew up watching NFL Films, and I think that's the number one sports documentary team in the world from the number one media brand and sport in the world, the NFL. And to have NFL Films come and track AEW and follow me around at the AEW shows, TBS and TNT, and then come backstage at the draft and be with us in our war room and see it all and make a documentary tying AEW and the NFL together and put it on. It was a big deal and it meant a lot.
It was very funny where there's a moment where you're in the room and you've got the neck brace on because you had just been part of the AEW show, and you see Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears. He goes, why is he wearing a neck brace? And the guy next to him goes, oh, he got body slammed at AEW. And he goes, and you go, no, I got pile drive. It was a pile drive. It wasn't a body slam. Tony Khan is here with us in studio. You know, just going back to the Jags for a second, because you're at this from the statistician point of view, but at the ownership level. You start 0-2. Is the urge to get more involved, like, is the urge to sit down with the coaching staff, try to figure this whole thing out, or is this a time where you have to actually pull back a little bit, kind of say, all right, we're just going to let you guys do your thing? Like, how do you manage that?
Well, I actually, as a statistician, work with the players and coaches and have for like 13 years, so it doesn't really change. I would do the same thing Doug and I do every week, and I have a great relationship with Doug. Also, we have a new defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen, and I, you know, talk to him every week, and I do the same stuff every game, and we have great relationships, and we've been through a lot of games, and So it doesn't really change how I do my job day to day as a statistician, if that makes sense. Also, as an owner, we have a tight knit relationship, and that, you know, happens whether you win the game or lose the game. And that's unfortunately sometimes the way sports go when you lose. But it's also the greatest feeling in the world when you win.
Tony Khan here with us. We're going to do something fun with you, a little bit of a different take on our celebrity NFL picker, because obviously you can't pick games. That would be a major conflict of interest.
Do you remember who killed it in the celebrity pickers last year? Seahawks fan?
Brian Danielson.
Killed it.
Really?
He did our celebrity picks, and he
knows his NFL. I think he went 5-0.
Yeah, first of all, he was such an awesome guest, generally, but he knew his football really well.
He's the best. He's the AEW world champion now. He's also really somebody at the center of the big stories in AEW. We're coming back, like I said, we're Wednesday night at Grand Slam at Arthur Ashe, and the big question is, will the world champion Brian Danielson be there? His best friend, Jon Moxley, betrayed him, attacked him. It was really the worst betrayal in the history of AEW, and it's the biggest story. And now we've got Jon Moxley versus Darby Allin on Wednesday, which I think Jon, since he came back to AEW, probably the greatest world champion ever, the only person ever, may go down in history at the end of all time being the only person ever to be the AEW world champion, the WWE world champion, and the IWGP world champion. Came back from New Japan, a totally different guy. He's been asking to see Darby Allin every week. I think it's the most compelling story in wrestling, but I definitely don't agree with what John did to Brian, who, like you said, I think is not only a great guy, a great person in and out of the ring, the person I maybe respect the most of anyone in the world besides my parents and my sister and my family. I think Brian's the man, and I hope he's there Wednesday night, because he'll have a chance to renew one of wrestling's greatest rivalries. If he can be there, if he can get medically cleared to be at Arthur Ashe Stadium Wednesday night here in New York City or live on TBS, 8 p.m. Wednesday, I cannot wait for this show. I hope Brian shows up to kick Nigel McGuinness's head in. Nigel McGuinness was voted the color commentator of the year by Pro Wrestling Illustrated, but you know, his white whale is Brian Danielson. He's been talking smack every single weekend on TNT for over a year about Brian Danielson without fail. Not a week has gone by where he has not slandered the man. And I hope Brian Danielson shows up Wednesday night at Arthur Ashe Stadium and kicks Nigel McGuinness's head in.
There you go. Tony Khan.
All right.
So we'll have to all tune in and see. And that is September 25th, as you mentioned. Okay, so we're going to do a little different take here. Every week we have a celebrity pick NFL games for us. Clearly, co-owner of the Jags, that's not going to work. We don't want to get you in any trouble with the league. So instead, we're going to ask you for predictions on a couple other things that are a little more in your wheelhouse. I mean, should we play the music? We can play the music, even though you're not making NFL picks.
Okay.
Time for celebrity picks.
I don't know if you remember the show Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. It's a great show, Robin Leach. Okay, Tony Khan is here with us. So a few predictions for you that will not be NFL picks. Yes or no, will we see an AEW WWE show ever, Tony, in the future?
I can't say ever. I mean, anything could happen at some point. So it's hard to say. What's the timeline? Maybe in the next 100 years, quite possibly. Who knows?
How about the next 5 years?
That seems far less likely.
There we go. A Super Bowl in London. Prediction time, yes or no?
I think with the time zones, it would be very, very hard to do that.
Yeah. How about a pay-per-view Super Bowl? This is something that former ESPN honcho John Skipper has been very open about. He believes there will be a pay-per-view Super Bowl in the next 5 years.
I don't think so. I really don't think so ever. I think the Super Bowl is the people's game, and it's important that the Super Bowl be available for everybody around the country to watch it, you know, and it should be broadcast to everybody, and everybody should have access to it for free.
Amen.
Yeah. I agree with you there. Predictions with Tony Khan. Will Travis, Kelce, and Taylor Swift get engaged this season? Yes or no?
I don't want to get involved in people's personal lives, especially people I don't know personally.
These aren't people. This is Taylor Swift. I mean, this is...
You worked with her crew over in
He's a great player. He was some great pick in 2013. Somebody I evaluated out of the University of Cincinnati and really respect. And he's a great, great player. He's a Hall of Famer and one of the all-time greats.
There we go. And final one for you. Predictions. Will this happen? Will Trevor Lawrence ever cut his hair?
I hope not. He's got a great look going. Again, I don't want to get involved in people's personal lives, but he's got a great brand going off the field, and he's a great player, a great guy. I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, do you have a single player on the roster who can find a pop star to get this tell? I don't know.
Olivia Rodrigo, maybe?
Yeah,
something
Olivia
like
Rodrigo.
That.
I would just say, if Travis did pop the question, maybe to do it in Jacksonville would be huge, but you don't have the Chiefs yet. Maybe in the playoffs.
Yeah. Tony Khan, thank you. That was our little twist on celebrity NFL picker.
That was fun.
And congrats again on all the success of AEW, Fulham, the Jags, your statistician, your company, True Media, is so ubiquitous in professional sports and college. Congrats to your Illini, too. Got a big game tonight against Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. Illini, great start to the season. And
Kansas?
3-0. It's very exciting and really great chance for the Illini to keep having a great start. I think it's the first time since 2011 the Illini have had an undefeated start to the season at 3-0, and hopefully can make it 4-0, although I try to stay neutral about college football, so it's yes. Both great teams.
They could all be future Jags, right?
Yeah.
Again, AEW Grand Slam, September 25th, Arthur Ashe Stadium, or on TBS at 8 p.m. Looking forward to it, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, we're back with more in just a moment.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie, I got to give you a lot of credit.
Why?
I felt like you were going to really give us some of that Bills Mafia energy with Tony Khan, co-owner of the Jaguars. You actually were very professional. I mean, there was
a little bit
of trash talk underneath it, but you did not go full Bills fan on him, and I knew that took some restraint.
Well, I'm scared to death of the Jags, actually. I said Tony Boselli lives in my nightmares. I wasn't joking about that. He's put more Bills on IR than anybody. Andrew Bogus today with headlines. I just realized I rearranged all of your stuff for Tony to come in here.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't need to do anything.
Can you still do the update even though I moved your computer?
We'll find out.
I mean, you really shouldn't. Apparently, it was the greatest day in baseball history. You should have it memorized by now.
I think I've got this correct. More importantly for you, over the next 5 years, your Sixers will pay just three players, $714 million. Tyrese Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid, who is signing a three-year extension, said to be worth $193 million. There is also a player option for 28-29, worth another $69 million.
Sorry, does this fall under the category of a bad deal that's signed the moment the pen hits the paper?
Well, no, because the Paul George deal is so much worse.
Yes.
That by comparison, I love Paul George as a player, but he's 35. Now, Embiid is 30. I mean, he's getting
feels
old.
50.
He's getting old fast.
He's been old.
Yeah, I mean, he played old when he was young. This is
thanks, Yogi.
But yeah, I'm pretty proud of that. Yeah, I just did a Yogiism. But listen, yeah, Maggie, pretend you're a Sixers fan for a second. You gotta be okay with this because what's your other option?
Yeah,
it's too harmless. It's actually nice. The expectations are lower than you'd think.
Listen, I already got one team that can't get to the big game. I don't need another.
The pressure's on the Birds. The Sixers are fine. They just sort of float in and out, go out in the second round. Everyone's like, when's football season?
Let's talk about something that matters. What happened with Shohei?
Let's do the Jets first, because only the Jets could look that impressive in primetime, but have to discuss postgame if their quarterback shoved their head coach. After the Jets took a 14-0 lead last night, Rodgers came back to the sideline and high-fived Robert Saleh, who then went for a hug, and Rodgers pushed him aside with a stare as he walked away.
He's not a big hugger, usually, so I didn't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well, so... But he talks a lot about two-score leads. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead.
Sounds like nothing. I'm going to assume they hate each other.
Yeah, like the whole internet just assumed that they were the worst of enemies after last night. You're telling me this was a normal thing?
That's what he's telling you.
By the way, Robert Saleh is not a hugger. No chance. That guy is so sunshine and rainbows. He's hugging everybody.
He hugged the interviewer at halftime. I mean, right.
Kaylee Hartung got a hug. Yeah, tell me he's not a hugger. No shot.
I actually spent a lot of mental energy on this last night. What could Aaron Rodgers have possibly been mad about last night? There's nothing. I got nothing.
No, I think that's just, I think that's Rodgers' sarcasm. Like, in the moment, I don't think it was anything other than him just being like, we're not hugging, and like staring at him, and then like laughing as he walked away, trying to pretend to be tough. It's not a thing. unfortunately.
I know. What a bummer.
I know. By the way, I got a little update on two things. Yesterday, Chris Lopresti was in for you, Bogish, and he has a theory that Rodgers has been dropping these big words into press conferences because either someone's daring him to do it or he's doing it as like a joke. So to get Bolero and bucolic and boondoggle and like working all them in. It's obviously got to be the McAfee show. I bet they're the ones who are daring him to do this, number one.
But they're not doing it on air, as far as I know.
No, but I bet it's a behind-the-scenes thing, and then at the end of the year, they're going to be like, ha-ha, here are all the words that Rodgers got.
That's a popular thing. I've done that on games. I know friends that do it. Like, you talk beforehand, like, try to get Britney Spears mentioned in, like, randomly. Like, it just happens. So that's definitely plausible.
I came off as I don't think you were here, a big jerk, because I was.
I mean, maybe not for the specific example, but.
But wait, were you here for bucolic then?
No,
that was yesterday.
Yeah, so nobody here knew what these guys didn't know bucolic. I thought that was not the most advanced word, like a bucolic setting.
See, I think I know what it means.
Yeah, it's not one of those words. Like, you might not know exactly what it means.
You're not used it correctly.
Right, like if somebody says, oh, it was a nice bucolic setting in the woods, like I wouldn't be like, what?
But I'd rather know what moobs are than bucolic, and you didn't know what moobs were.
I've actually been asking around a lot about that. It's about 60.
But here's the thing, the other thing. Yeah. You should know moobs. I love also Perloff saying,
I should know moobs?
You worked in a professional, like, locker room, like the moves was never said on or off air at Dan Patrick's show.
It's actually a radio show.
No, like, I know, but it was never in that clubhouse. You didn't, no one ever said
no
moves.
I mean, everyone said, oh, he should be wearing a bro or a man's ear. That was common knowledge. The dude needs a bro.
I love how Perloff said, everyone thought I was a jerk for saying this yesterday, so let me bring it up again. It's great. Second other thing about Aaron Rodgers, there was a poll put out on the Action Network, we never got to this today, of who is the most annoying player in the NFL. Rodgers won in a landslide.
That's easy. I mean, he's even, he's so exposed. I actually thought... Number two would be Patrick Mahomes because he's the second most famous player, but it's not. It's his buddy, right?
It was second place was
Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Where's Baker Mayfield in that bad boy?
He's five. Not on it.
I thought.
No, Mahomes was five.
Oh, Mahomes was five. Okay.
Odell Beckham Jr. was another.
He still counts, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. He doesn't really do anything anymore, unfortunately.
And so it went. Aaron Rodgers, Travis Kelce, Odell Beckham Jr., Patrick Mahomes. Sorry, five was Dak Prescott.
No Tyreek Hill.
As most annoying, NFL's most annoying player is done by Action Network.
I feel like Tyreek Hill should be on that list somewhere.
I think he's getting a little sympathy because of what happened with the police. But he's
always in the media.
He's always challenging somebody something.
Sorry, Bugs. What else we got?
So the Jets won last night 24-3 over the Patriots. Rodgers threw for 281 and two scores. Patriot QBs sacked seven total times. Jacoby Brissett got five of them. He threw for just 98 yards. Drake May then made his debut for their last possession. Four completions, 22 yards. He was sacked twice. Head coach Gerard Mayo did not commit postgame to Brissett, remaining their starter. And a WNBA record, 20,711 fans watched the final regular season game of Caitlin Clark's rookie season last night in Washington. Clark, 8 points, 8 assists in 20 minutes in a game that meant nothing for her Fever. The Mystics won it 92-91. Guys, back
make
to you.
Make sure you tune in on Sunday if you're out there. Caitlin Clark in the Fever, 3 o'clock, ABC.
This is all.
Do not miss it.
Perloff wants to win a bet against me. Yeah. Caitlin Clark's first WNBA playoff game is going to top 2 million viewers. It's not that I don't think it's a big story. You're going up against the NFL.
Yeah, but
good luck.
I like this bet because I didn't give you some crazy number. 2 million is not that outrageous.
I think it's kind of high.
We'll see. If I had said 4 million, then you'd win. But I think they can get to 2. They're always between 1 and 2. It's not that nuts. I think everyone's in their house. If you're listening right now, this is a PSA. It's halftime. Flip over to Caitlin.
Just leave a TV on in a different room on the game if you want Perloff to win.
If you happen to have a Nielsen box or whatever that works.
Yeah, just you. Specifically, you, sir, with the Nielsen box. Bogish, thank you. Thank you to EJ Stewart. Thank you to Ryan Botcher. Thank you to Andrew Kaplan. Weedo's Coffee Drinkers. Thank you to Nick Costos, who joined us. Tony Khan, who joined us. And of course, Guido. Have a good weekend.